The prophets of old were in many respects about keeping the main thing the main thing. Your fasting does not mean much if you oppress your workers, they say. Is not this the fast I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. The same was true of Jesus, attempting to keep the main thing the main thing, and it's what's at stake in his Sermon on the Mount. Our selection today has strange sayings about salt and saltiness, the injunction to let our light shine before others, and the promise that Jesus does not abolish the law and the prophets, but fulfills them. What are we to make of this, these sayings and this sermon? There's a man called Ulrich Luz, who is a professor of New Testament at the University of Bern in Switzerland, and he has suggested that the Sermon on the Mount is actually a series of parallel pieces that begin in chapter 5 and end in chapter 7 of Matthew's Gospel, and they should be interpreted in the light of each other, and the sermon moves towards its heart, which is the Jesus teaching on prayer and the Lord's Prayer, and then it comes out the other way. And what that means is that our sayings about salt and light are paired with sayings about bad fruit, and the promise that those who do what is against the law will be put away from Jesus. So the fulfillment of the law passage is to be read in light of Matthew's version of the Golden Rule in chapter 7. Everything then that you wish people to do to you, do likewise to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So in this sermon, there are plenty of ethical imperatives with grace and prayer at their heart. This is not a sermon filled with sayings such as we might find in the book of Proverbs. In this sermon, there are plenty of ethical imperatives, but not rules for every situation. In this sermon, there are principles offered for right relationship or righteousness, but not case law covering every possibility. These are Jesus' teachings, and we'll see them lived out in his life, the fulfillment of the law and the prophets as the way of right relationship with God and others, righteousness, treating others as you would be treated, loving others as you would be loved, serving others as you would be served, being generous to others as you would have them be generous to you. So yes, you must love one another, but Matthew is interested in saying how you love and the fruits of that love also matter based on this sermon. I was thinking about this on Thursday as I was woken extremely early by lots of angry, what sounded like angry car horns honking at each other. And it started about 6 a.m. and it went on for some considerable time. I thought, what on earth is going on? This is most unusual. And I thought, of course, it's the presidential prayer breakfast taking place just down the hill. There were traffic jams outside the hotel, and the noise was just prayerful Christians loving each other. Now, a vestry has been thinking about and discussing what is the essence of our mission among those who come in our buildings every week, those who live and work in our neighborhood, those who are transforming the lives of children far away. We'll learn more about the impact and import of these conversations in the coming year. But what's been at the heart of them is an idea that I've called, it's not a term of art, I'd like to come up with something better, but calling it non-transactional relationships. Means what it means to invite and enter into a relationship where there is no implied or intended, forgive me, quid pro quo. We don't want to serve others just so that we can get more people in the pews on Sunday and more dollars in the plate. Or do we? At the same time, we don't want to make our space available to just anyone in exchange for money. Or do we? How can we invite conversation and relationship shaped by our mutual quest for meaning and purpose in life, without anyone feeling either used or being offered a kind of bait and switch? These are not straightforward questions when we're talking about entering into right relationship with the law written on our hearts, letting our true savor be manifest and our true light be shown. It's not easy. My advertising brother bemoans the change in his business, which was all about relationship. He thought, knowing clients, knowing their business, knowing their priorities over time and so on. And now it's all about, he thinks it's all about metrics. What have you done for me lately? Prove it. or we're going somewhere else. Sage spends much of her time encouraging clients to understand that relationship is bigger than getting what you want. You don't support someone just so that you can get a particular result on this or that issue. It's much bigger than that. Theologians write books about generosity and grace, always wrestling with, at some level, with the basic category of exchange in our relationships with God and each other. The Sermon on the Mount points us toward what Jesus calls the right way, the way. Be yourself, share what matters, find righteousness in the law that is so etched on our hearts that we know how to behave, do unto others, and so on. But Jesus' sermon does not give us a surefire way out of the transactional dilemma. I think we saw an example of what that kind of relationship that we are seeking can be like in a video that went viral this week. I expect you saw it. If you didn't, it's worth doing a web search and looking for it. It was a conversation between one of Pete Buttigieg's precinct captains in Iowa and a woman who had voted for him and wanted to change her vote when she discovered that he was married to a man. Now, this is not about the candidate. This is about the woman who was his captain. But it is worth pointing out that just as surely as a leader can set a boorish tone that encourages the mob to engage in vile public discourse, so a leader can invite and encourage real dialogue with respect and dignity about what really matters, about faith. At one point he said in an interview responding to this video that our conversation could really be about, I was a stranger and you took me in, I was hungry and you fed me. But this young woman is who I want to focus on, a young mother engaged the outraged voter for whom the candidate's sexuality was a deal breaker for her based on her reading of the Bible. And this woman challenged her respectfully and forthrightly. She did not put the woman down. She did not ask how it was possible to get this far into the campaign without knowing that fact about... Didn't say, what planet are you from? Or... But she appealed to her humanity. And she, her response to the mayor's message. And she invited awareness that there are different readings of Scripture, all the while saying, I respect you, but there are different readings of Scripture. And yes, the candidate really does read the Bible. It's not quite as simple as you think it is. So this precinct captain was not savourless salt. She didn't hide her light under a bushel basket. She treated the voter, I suspect, as she would want to be treated, and testified as such, pointing to how she taught her young son, who was standing with her, about love. It was an impressive display of what I'm calling non-transactional relationship, and it's worth a web search if you haven't seen it, the kind of relationship that we all can be invited into and invite others into along the way, however circumstances deliver those possibilities. We're all capable of such a witness, especially as we practice faith over time. We live in a world crying out for meaning and purpose, respect, compassion, dignity, hope. A world in which truth and truth-telling really do matter. A world in which, for many, our witness is really about life and death, meaning and purpose. Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, unless your relationships are right, coming from that place in the heart that doesn't hide, doesn't pretend, but is honest and forthright without putting people down, without quid pro quos, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You just won't get it. In our customary time of silence, I invite you to ask that you be given an opportunity to show your light, to be salty, if you like, to speak from the law written and fulfilled on your hearts as it was in Jesus' life. Maybe ask that you be given an opportunity to share your faith, to invite a person to join in our quest for meaningful, purposeful, abundant life. In silence and in response to the gospel, let us pray.